Hello, this is Dr. Barry Holzer, and welcome to Parent is a Verb. I am a child psychiatrist. I've been working in New York over the past 20 years or so, and I'm here with my wife,
Hani Holzer. I'm a clinical social worker, and I've been in private practice for approximately 17 years now, and I think I learned a lot in graduate school, and I learned a lot in my postmaster's, but I think I primarily learned most everything I know and everything I do from being a parent for the past 23 years. My own little laboratory at home has taught me a lot.
And having spoken in a variety of venues, including many of the Orthodox Union Positive Parenting seminars, I've put together some thoughts and ideas. And Hani and I have spoken both individually and together on numerous occasions, and we hope to organize some thoughts and put them together that hopefully be helpful for you over the coming shows.
Right. We've even collaborated as parents of our own children, so we bring that to the table as well.
We'd like to be able to talk to you about parenting as an active involvement that parents have in creating an environment in the home for their children. We hope to talk about some of the challenges of being a parent and some of the challenges of becoming and developing a whole family. Part of this is, we believe, just understanding yourself, your own history of how you've been parented, and what we bring to our relationship, what we bring to our relationship with our spouse, and what we bring to our relationship with our children. Okay? Thinking about what it was like for us as children, what things our parents did that we thought were wonderful and we want to be able to do for our children, and what things happened when we were growing up that we really want to avoid and we want to make different in our own families.
And it takes a real keen understanding and time to reflect with yourself as well as with your spouse, two spouses reflecting individually, and then being able to come together in dialogue and really starting to understand what their goals are and what their vision might be in terms of where they want to go forward in beginning their family and beginning their parenting history together. Because it is a combined effort and it is a partnership. But if we really don't understand where we came from and what worked for us and what didn't work for us and what we would replicate and what we would choose not to replicate and why, we're often left with an unconsciousness and an unawareness and are probably going to be relegated to repeating history. And some of that history will not necessarily be history that you will want to repeat, but will repeat all the same.
Right. So what we feel is that you have to really create a vision of what you want your home to be like and then make that vision happen. If there's no plan, then you're not actively parenting. You're not planning out what you want things to be like in your home and for your children. And the first step to that is really understanding yourself. You know, what do I bring to this?
There are lots of questions that you can ask yourself to kind of bring an awareness of what your life was like as a child. And it is important to take that journey back and to look inward a little bit. And some of those questions can reflect things like, what was it like growing up? Who was in my family? How did you get along with your parents early in your childhood? How did the relationship evolve throughout your youth and up until the present time? What journeys did you take in your own development of your relationship with your own parents? Had your relationship with your mother and father differ? Did it? And how are they similar? Are there ways in which you try to be like or try not to be like each of your parents?
See, I'm just starting with asking some of these questions, you know, is important because we have to understand that when we become parents, our relationship with our children is based upon all our previous relationships. And therefore, the relationships, especially that we have with our own parents, really are going to define how we're going to parent. You know, there are some parents who want a very structured, strict home where there are clear bedtime and, you know, there's, you know, the kids are all in bed at 7 o'clock at night and they have very clear, defined rules. And then there are some parents who feel they want a very relaxed atmosphere, either because that's the way they were brought up and liked it, or because this is the way they were brought up and they hated it and they want to do just the opposite. Okay? But you have to have a plan and you have to discuss it together. Sometimes two parents come to the idea of parenting with such different ideas, and all of a sudden the kid is, you know, 3 or 4 years old, and they're coming to them and, you know, they're having two totally different approaches and responses because they never really talked about it.
Absolutely. And really, it's about the teamwork, but it's hard to be a team if you don't have the history of what made this team the team to begin with. There are other questions that you can ask yourselves. Did you ever feel rejected or threatened by your parents? Were there other experiences you had that felt overwhelming or traumatizing in your life during childhood, beyond? Do any of these experiences still feel very much alive, and do they continue to influence your life? And that's important because things happen all the time in relationships, particularly relationships with our children, that can activate us and make us react very strongly, and we're not even sure why. But if we have had the ability and the time to self-reflect and to really get a good handle on who we are and why we are the way we are, then there need not necessarily be very strong reactions coming out at you from left field.
Right. I think it's important also when couples talk about their, you know, family of origin and how they grew up and what it was like, too often, you know, they'll complain, you know, they'll say something about, well, my family this, your family that. The goal here is not to argue and not even to say which is right or wrong. The goal here is to understand each other, understand where you're coming from first, understand where your spouse is coming from, and discuss together what your goals are, where you'd like things to be. Nobody's saying you're going to be perfect and you're going to get there right away. Okay. It's going to be, may well be a journey, and it may take quite a long time. But at least if you know where you're headed, if you say, this is how I'd like my family to be, I'd like to have time at dinner tonight. I'd like that my kids be able to talk to us and tell us what's going on. I'd like my kids to have a good feeling about, being at the Shabbos table. Or I'd like my kids to have, you know, a time with us that they can really enjoy and remember and really make memories with my kids. Whatever the things are that are most important to you, you've got to discuss and plan and talk about.
And it's really nice to have this, like, you know, general amorphous, oh, I want our house to be a happy house. What in heaven's name is a happy house? And how do you go about creating a happy house? What's the plan? How are you going to get there? How are you going to get there together?
So in particular, as your children, you know, as you have children and children grow and they reach different stages in life, you have to come up with plans that are really going to make sense and accomplish your goals. If it's important that your family does things together, then you're going to have to find things that kids of different ages of the kids you have are all going to be able to do and enjoy together, you know. And for some families, you know, ice skating might work. And for other families, that might be a disaster. It might be something that a couple of kids like to do, but the rest don't. You know, so that, but finding things or encouraging your kids to even try things that you can share and do together are really going to be important. But again, you need to have a plan.
And, you know, the other piece is, you know, the plan is important, the understanding of each other. And then what happens, though, Barry, when you have two people who come from very, very divergent homes and there's discrepancy about how you want to go about making your plan? She comes from a home where it was very organized and very regimented, and that made her feel secure and comfortable. And he came from a home where it was kind of like, you know, fly by the seat of your pants and just, you know, have a good time. And he wants that replicated. Then what do you do when you have such opposing views?
Well, what you don't do is have two parents working at odds in different directions. The most important thing, what I tell parents all the time, is, you know, they're arguing that when what time bedtime should be. Or they're arguing, you know, if the kids should be able to watch TV during the week, or how many hours, how much time, or how much time they're allowed to play video games. And what I tell parents all the time is, where you draw the lines is not nearly as important as the fact that the two of you are on the same page. I recently was talking to a couple about their son, who they're talking about how he, you know, he's playing, you know, he's off on Sunday or on, you know, school vacations. He's playing video games, you know, 8-10 hours a day. That's what he wants to do all day. And even on school nights, he spends a lot of time playing video games. But mind you, there's no TV in the house. Uh-huh. So they've agreed that they don't want television, but they agreed on video games. Now, you know, they need to come to some terms with video games and some limits on that as well, I explained. And just having it as a free for, you know, with no limits clearly is not working, mm-hmm. because their son is avoiding other activities that he really should be involved in and probably other schoolwork that he needs to do. But with how much time you allot and what you say is okay, that can really vary. And that's all right. But the key is as long as both parents are on the same page, as long as they're both agreeing, this is what the rules are, okay? And this is what we agree to, and you sit down and explain these are the rules, then kids can really have abide by it. They might complain or butcher a bit initially, but overall, they will accept it and they'll deal with it.
Well, I think what, you know, some of what you're saying is reminding me that part of the goal, and probably one of the biggest jobs here, is to support each other when a child comes and asks you if they can go to the movies with their friends. You have to know how your spouse is going to feel about that. And, you know, it's time to say, well, you know, let's go check with Dad. You know, what does he say about you going to the movie on a Thursday night with your friends? That there's always a checks and balances. No, there are no unilateral decisions. The unilateral decision is that both of you are making the decision and both parents are involved in all decisions and all policies across the board. So I know in our case, very often when our kids have come and asked us questions of any kind, whether they could go places or do things, I would always say, you know, my gut reaction is, well, did you ask Abba? What did Abba say? And because kids have that lovely way of going to the person who they think is going to give them the answer that they want to hear. And, you know, they're smart enough to do that. And kids can get very good at splitting parents and causing all kinds of interesting situations and arguments.
And I think when we talk about parenting actively, it doesn't mean that I'm running around all day. It means that I take an active involvement so that parenting actually becomes easier. When parents work at setting things up, they create a structure in the home where parenting is somewhat predictable. There's a sense of security. Children know what to expect. There's a regular interaction between parents and kids. There's a dinner table they talk at. There's rules that they understand. There's a certain structure to what goes on. Then it's a lot easier to parent. When parents assert a sense of authority, okay, when children learn that there needs to be some respect for their parents, okay, and there is a hierarchy, then families work better. You know, Salvador Minuchin, I guess, is the most famous. Actually, turns out we found that it comes from an Orthodox home, from a shtetl down in South America, where the family ended up. But he talks about the structure of the family and the idea of authority and respect for parents and there being a hierarchy being so important. Okay. Parents don't need to be authoritarian. They need to be authoritative. They need to be clear that I'm just another friend of yours. And very often parents are afraid to exert their parental role. They're afraid to parent and to say no.
Well, I also, you know, that's a very good point. And I think very often parents are particularly afraid to parent in that way and to really set limits because of their own experience with what that was for them. Getting back to the structure of this talk, I think parents often found that limit setting for them in their growing up lives was very harsh and very mean and didn't take their needs necessarily into account and came from a very, very authoritarian place. And then that becomes a turnoff in their own experience. Then in their experience as parents and parenting children of their own, I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be that bad guy. But setting limits isn't really about being mean. It's very much about meaning what you say and sticking to what you say and to meaning what you say, but not being mean about it. Being firm does not necessarily connote that you're going to be mean. It implies that you mean what you're saying and you're going to stick with it, and that there really is very little or almost no room for negotiation around certain issues.
Right. But again, I think if two people or parents talk about this in advance, they talk about what was hard for them.
Right. I mean, for some people in their partnerships, it might be second nature for them to be able to be firm and structured. And for the other partner, it may be like, you know, creating an unbelievable miracle. They're entirely uncomfortable with that role. And that's something that needs to be talked about and negotiated and worked out between the two partners, because limit setting and being firm are extremely important in parenting.
Right. But the idea of parents working as a partnership, okay, when you have the advantage of having two parents in the home, is that sometimes it's really very helpful to know that, you know, I'm going to say no, I'm going to have a hard time sticking with it, and it's going to be a lot easier for my spouse to, you know, really follow through and be firm and, you know, back me up on this. So then if I'm feel like I'm having a hard time dealing with situation, it's tag team. I call my spouse in and I say, help me out here.
1,000%. You know, in addition to that, I think if there is one of the partners has a difficult time setting limits and being firm about it, they shouldn't be avoidant of that role either. Their partner should be able to say, you know what, you go in and you try it and I'll back you up, I'll support you. Because the children need to hear it from both parents. It's not just that dad's always the one who's saying no and setting the limits and dad's the bad guy, because that becomes the perception even though it's not the reality. But that even for the person who is struggling and who it's harder for innately to be that limit setter and that boundary keeper, they should be encouraged by their spouse to, you know, you go in there and it's your turn and I'll back you up. You won't have to do it alone.
Right. All too often I hear from parents that mom is waiting for dad to come home to get the little boy to do whatever it is that has to be done to get him to bed.
Well, and the problem with that is that some dads work such long hours that that never occurs. So, you know, you're left with a situation where it's hanging in the balance forever and never gets attended to.
Right. Or that, you know, that Benny is having a tantrum and there's very little mom seems feel that she can do about it, and she's waiting for dad to come home to deal with him. It's really when you're able to plan it out and share it and your kids know that this is a partnership, okay, and we're both speaking out of the same voice, well, then it's a lot easier for both parents.
And, you know, the benefit for children, besides parents knowing that they're a partnership, is that the children benefit enormously from parents who are united and are a united team. Tremendous sense of security is created and tremendous predictability for the kids, which is really what they need. It eliminates a lot of anxiety for children if they know what to expect, and they know they can expect pretty much within the ballpark similar reactions from both parents.
So I think what we hope to accomplish with this series is to really talk about topics that are helpful to parents, to address some of the issues and concerns that a lot of the parents we deal with have. And that has to do with creating a family environment, creating family traditions, building relationship with your children, learning to appreciate your child, learning how to build a healthy lifestyle into your home, dealing with all the things we deal with as Orthodox Jews in terms of, you know, what's our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our home? How do we set up the routines and the order in the home?
And how do we set boundaries? And because of who we are as Orthodox Jews, how do we engage with the outside world? What are our approaches to the outside world? as a parental unit so that we can impart that information and those feelings to our children.
Right. And how do we respond to the influences that our kids have? For one example, I remember quite a few years ago already talking about the influence of television. And, you know, when we were brought up on, Father Knows Best.
Dinah Reed.
And My Three Sons, there was a wholesomeness that you could count on in TV. And today, the only thing you can count on is drugs, violence, and sex.
I was just watching a program the other day where I think the Cosby Show people were having a reunion, a first-time reunion, and there was a woman in the audience, a black female, who said she counted on the Cosby kids and the Cosby family every week coming into her South Bronx home to be a shining example of what she could be in her life. And she went on to have a professional life, marry a husband who's a professional, and they own their own home. She said it was such a strong model for her. But if we think today what's on television, it's frightening what our children are being exposed to, you know, just by living in our current culture.
Right. So we believe that parenting today, for that and a variety of other reasons in our society, is a much more difficult job than it was probably for our own parents. There's a lot greater risk today. We talk about why there are so many kids who are going off the derech or kids at risk. There's a lot of risk available in our society.
And the risks are much more serious and have greater consequences, I think, than they've ever had.
And the openness of society with the internet in our very small world that we live in today, with a few clicks of a mouse, just about anything, good or bad influences, are really very available. And so being an active parent is really important to us. And it's going to make a difference in our children's lives if we're aware of what the risks are, what the concerns are, what we have to deal with as parents, and what our goals are for our children so that we can help them develop into the people that we'd like to see them be. Thank you for joining us today on Parent is a Verb. This is Barry Holzer and Connie Holzer saying goodbye. If you have any questions or comments, please email them to parentisaverb, all one word, parentisaverb@ou.org. Thank you and have a good day.